Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most important topics in your EdExcel A-Level Business course, Corporate Objectives and Strategy. This sits right at the heart of Theme 3, and I can tell you from experience that it comes up in almost every exam paper, often in the big 20-mark questions where the real marks are won or lost. So whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final sweep before your exam, this episode is going to give you everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts clearly, walk through exactly what examiners want to see, flag the most common mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. Grab a pen, because you're going to want to take notes. Let's go. Let's start at the very top, the hierarchy of objectives. Think of a business's objectives like a pyramid. At the very peak, you have the mission statement. This is the broadest, most aspirational statement about why the business exists. Google's mission, for example, is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. Notice it doesn't mention profit. It's about purpose. Below that sits the vision statement, which is a forward-looking picture of where the business wants to be in 10 or more years. Now, here's where it gets really important for your exam. Corporate objectives are the specific, measurable targets that translate the mission into action. These are SMART: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. An example would be, increase market share by 10% within 3 years. Crucially, corporate objectives must be consistent with the mission. If a business's mission is sustainability, but its corporate objective is to maximize short-term profit at any cost, there's a strategic conflict, and examiners love asking you to spot and analyze exactly that kind of tension. Below corporate objectives, we have functional objectives. These are the department-level targets, what the marketing team, finance team, HR, and operations need to achieve in order to hit the corporate objectives. And at the very bottom of the pyramid, we have tactical decisions, the day-to-day actions. This is the key distinction you must nail. Strategy is the long-term direction. Tactics are the short-term implementation. Confusing these two is one of the most common mistakes candidates make, and it will cost you marks. Right, let's move on to the strategic models, and these are absolutely central to this topic. First up, Ansoff's Matrix. This is a tool for analyzing growth strategies, and it works by looking at two dimensions: products and markets, and asking whether they are existing or new. This gives you four quadrants. Market penetration is the lowest risk strategy. You're selling existing products into existing markets. Think of Coca-Cola running a price promotion to win more customers from Pepsi. Product development means you're creating new products for your existing market, like Nike launching a brand new trainer range for its existing customer base. Market development means you're taking existing products into new markets. Starbucks entering China is a classic example. And finally, diversification is the highest risk quadrant, new products into new markets. Apple launching Apple Pay is a good example here as it moved into financial services, a completely new market. Here's a critical exam point. The most common mistake candidates make is confusing product development with diversification. The key question to ask yourself is the market new or existing? If the market is existing, it's product development. If the market is new, it's diversification. Always check both axes before you label a strategy. Now let's talk about Porter's five forces. This model helps businesses analyze the competitive environment they're operating in. The five forces are competitive rivalry. How intense is the competition between existing firms? Threat of new entrants? How easy is it for new competitors to enter the market? Threat of substitutes? Are there alternative products customers could switch to? Bargaining power of suppliers? Can suppliers push up costs? And bargaining power of buyers, can customers push prices down? The reason this matters strategically is that a business uses Porter's five forces to understand the attractiveness of its industry and to shape its corporate strategy accordingly. If buyer power is high, for example, a business might pursue a differentiation strategy to reduce price sensitivity. If the threat of new entrants is low due to high barriers to entry, a business might focus on market penetration to consolidate its dominant position. Which brings us neatly to Porter's generic strategies, also known as Porter's strategic matrix. Porter argued that businesses must choose between three strategic positions: cost leadership, becoming the lowest cost producer in the industry, like Aldi or Ryanair; differentiation, offering something unique that customers will pay a premium for, like Apple or Dyson; and focus, targeting a narrow market segment with either cost leadership or differentiation, like Rolls-Royce, focusing on the ultra-luxury car segment. The key insight for your exam is that these strategies must be consistent with the business's corporate objectives and its external environment. A business with high gearing, meaning it has a lot of debt relative to equity, may not be able to fund the research and development required for a differentiation strategy, making cost leadership more feasible in the short term. Finally, let's touch on how external factors influence strategic direction. PESL analysis, political, economic, social, technological, legal, and environmental, helps businesses identify macro-environmental factors that could affect their strategy. For example, a rise in interest rates increases the cost of borrowing, which might cause a business to abandon a capital-intensive diversification strategy. A change in consumer attitudes towards sustainability might push a business to reposition its brand. Examiners expect you to link PESTL factors directly to strategic decisions, not just list them.
Okay, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are genuinely won and lost. First, always apply models to the specific business in the question. Do not give a generic definition of Ansoff's matrix and then move on. Examiners call this AO1, knowledge, and it's only worth 20% of the marks. The big marks come from AO3, which is analysis. That's your chain of reasoning, and AO4, which is evaluation. So when you identify that a business is pursuing a diversification strategy, you need to explain why, connect it to the corporate objective, and then evaluate whether it's likely to succeed given the business's specific context. Second, for 20-mark questions, your conclusion must contain a justified judgment. This means you're not just summarizing your arguments, you're weighing them. Use the phrase, "it depends on," to structure your evaluation. For example, whether this diversification strategy will help the business achieve its corporate objective of increasing shareholder value depends on the business's current gearing ratio. If gearing exceeds 50%, the additional debt required to fund diversification could increase financial risk to a level that deters investors, undermining the very objective it seeks to achieve. Third, use the quantitative data in the appendices. Examiners specifically reward candidates who calculate ratios such as ROCE, return on capital employed, or gearing to support their arguments. A qualitative argument supported by a calculated ratio is far more convincing than one that isn't. Fourth, distinguish clearly between short-term tactical costs and long-term strategic gains. A business pursuing market development will incur significant upfront marketing and distribution costs, which may reduce profit margins in the short term. But if the strategy is successful, the expanded market share could deliver significantly higher revenues over the long term. Examiners credit this kind of temporal reasoning. And the number one mistake to avoid: asserting that a strategy will increase profit without explaining the intermediate steps. Revenue minus costs equals profit. You need to show how the strategy affects both sides of that equation.
Right, let's test your recall. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer.
Question one, what are the four quadrants of Ansoff's matrix? Market penetration, product development, and diversification. Question two, which Ansoff quadrant carries the highest risk? Diversification, because both the product and the market are new.
Question three, name the three generic strategies in Porter's strategic matrix: cost leadership, differentiation, and focus.
Question four, what does PESTL stand for? Political, economic, social, technological, legal, environmental.
Question five, what is the difference between a corporate objective and a functional objective?
A corporate objective is a company-wide, measurable target, while a functional objective is a department-level target that supports the corporate objective.
How did you do? If you hesitated on any of those, go back and review that section before your exam.
Let's bring it all together. Corporate objectives and strategy is about understanding how businesses set direction, choose growth strategies, and respond to their competitive environment. The hierarchy of objectives, from mission down to tactical decisions, provides the framework. Ansoff's matrix tells you about growth direction and risk. Porter's five forces analyses the competitive environment. Porter's generic strategies tell you how to compete. And PESTL connects the external world to strategic decision making. In your exam, always apply these models to the specific business in the question, build chains of reasoning, use quantitative data to support your arguments, and make sure your conclusions contain a justified judgment that weighs the evidence.
You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn in the exam is a direct result of the preparation you put in now. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.